Luke 24:36b through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them.
Peace be with you.
They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost.
Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.
And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them,
Do you have anything to eat?
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
This is what I said when I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.
The two scriptures we have for us this morning in Acts 3, which I'm about to read, and will be followed by a time of your reflecting on your lives held in the container of the music Gabriel's oboe. In these two scriptures, we have an unsettling encounter between Jesus' disciples and then between Peter and the crowd. As I set this event up in Acts 3, I invite you to bring your lives, what you bring from this week, what you carry in your hearts and spirits, to hearing these words. The setting is Jerusalem. Peter has just healed a man who was lame. And I'll begin with verse 11. While this lame man clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico, called Solomon's portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our ancestors glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiahs appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. The song we just heard was a theme song for the movie Mission. And one of the most powerful images in that movie is one of the men who was a Spanish soldier conquering South America, who had been killing the bodies of many Indians and saw his sin and wanted to join in the missionary effort. And this music was played as he climbed a cliff beside a waterfall, carrying in a net all his armor that he had carried before, all the way up that mountain. And when he gets to the top of that cliff, he throws it off and lets it go and joins the ministry of service to that community. The phrase from the scripture is the phrase that I invite each of us to hold before us this morning as the crowd was challenged. And you killed the author of life. That's not an easy phrase to hear. What I would like us to do in the next 7 or so minutes is something we've done before. It's a participatory sermon. I invite you to take your bulletin and somebody in your circle who has a pen or a pencil, and if not, there's some pencils in the back, to make a circle of 5 or 6 folks and make 2 columns. Just answer these 2 questions. How do we kill the author of life in our day? And how do we share the author of life? How do we kill the author of life? And how do we share the author of life? And after you make those lists in your circle, listening to each other, we'll have a 5-minute time and we'll report those lists back. So I invite you to make a quick circle and name those ways in which we kill the author of life and receive from each other and listen to each other and listen for repentance in your words. I invite us to come back together. Jerry Lee has a microphone. If you could begin in the back here and just make a big circle, Jerry Lee, and the group in the back can report. I invite us to listen to your responses to these questions. Listen to each other's responses and receive.
All right. The first thing we went to, how do you kill the author of life, and talked about, or the author of love, and just talked about like having a bad attitude and how sometimes that can drag other people down or stop something that good that's going on. And then also saying something hurtful to someone, being silent in different situations where there's an opportunity to speak up for a transformation or to share something good. And then also another way is condemnation of others, or if they perceive that we're condemning them in some way. And then we went to how do we share the author of love? And we were kind of talking about the children's story, like how we love one little thing at a time and one hug at a time. And also how we're willing to take a stand for things that are good or for things that are right. And also just one thing we thought our church does particularly well is like community sense of things, just sharing life in a community with others and reaching out to other people in our immediate area.
Thank you. Next group.
I'll go through the killing column first. We were talking about denial, also silence in the face of injustice, withdrawing from intimacy with God, not spending time, cynicism, and not welcoming the intricate interactions and fellowship with people,
just basically interactions with people. And in sharing, crediting God when it's due, sharing our appreciation for others, optimism, working to find the positive side of things, and learning how to interact with people with honesty and love.
I guess we sort of focused on some of the mundane things that we see and hear. For example, being harsh with our children and blocking out love and finding ourselves yelling at our kids. Forgetting and tuning out or becoming distracted, kind of like losing hope. And on the other side of that, considering what a blessing it could be if we could affirm everyone, even the least of those that we meet. Every time I see a story about someone who's murdered a group of coworkers, and I think, what if that person could have felt affirmed? Could that outcome have been changed? Or being sensitive and being spontaneously aware of the things going on around us, like a man or a woman in a line in a grocery store that can't pay for their food.
Our group found it was easier to start on the sharing the author of life, so it takes some discipline to get back over and talk about the first question. And so killing the author of life was gossip or demeaning and devaluing the other person, another person. The failure to give or forgive any selfish act. And then we realized that in each moment or in each hour of our days that we might be acting that way. So it was very painful to realize that we could be killing pretty regularly. And then not acknowledging the good, seeing the flaws or seeing what's not perfect and not recognizing the good in others or even in parts of creation. Sharing the author of life, we talked about the nonverbal, music and singing, the importance of relationships in community, that we are Jesus' feet, the hands and feet, and taking time to care for others is a way of sharing the author of life.
Thank you. Last group.
We had some sharing, but didn't come up with a very extensive list. So we talked about a lot of things that were shared so far. One thing that was mentioned was our attitude, our frame of reference, our frame of mind is important a lot of times on which one of these you come down on in a situation, whether you're negative, hard to get along with, or whether you're positive, upbeat, want to purvey a positive and good attitude towards others. So.
I invite us to another line now, having heard these words. Peter didn't, when he accused them, didn't do a number of things. He did call them to repentance. After saying they killed the author of life, he named one thing that was extremely important in their conversion. And their seeing, in their knowing. In verse 17 it says, "And now, friends," after just having said they killed the author of life, the person Peter walked with for 3 years, and said, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." Putting what they did in their faces with words, he goes about doing in spirit what he did to the leper by God's power, and that is heal. And he did it this way. I'll move back to verse 16, right behind the words, killing the author of life. And by faith in his witness, and by faith in his name, His name itself was made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Then, he says, naming that physical healing, he names the spiritual transformation that God invites all of us to and says, "And now, friends." Can you hear those words? Even in your own failures, even in your own missing the mark, even in your own giving up to ways in which we all kill the author of life. He doesn't stop there. He says, "And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did the rulers." He names the reality that in many ways what we do to each other is often done in ignorance, not seeing fully or knowing fully or having the grasp of what is. And so Peter calls them friends to name what they did in ignorance. In a few moments, we are moving toward a time of communion in which we will be held in that music again. And as we move toward this time of communion, which I will also be available for anointing if someone would wish to receive it, I invite us to bring our lives to be held in that sense of receiving the author of life, of being friends with God and the apostles, by being held in that grace. And as we move toward that time of communion, I invite us to turn to the purple book, Sing the Story, number 187. 187. Whatever you're carrying in your life, whatever you're dealing with in these days, I invite you to move toward receiving the author of life, and I invite those to come forward who are participating in the communion service, leading it. I invite us in 187 for the women to read the light print and the men to read the dark print. Let's read, the women read. O Holy Trinity, good Spirit, that we might take Christ's body and blood into our bodies, dance in us, O Holy Trinity, as we eat this meal of grace, that our bodies may be joined in one body, and that we might join our earthly dance with you. Amen. I invite us to come forward and receive the author of life as the music plays. And those who wish to be anointed are welcome also.